have an opportunity this morning to again opening the Bible, opening the precious word, being refreshed in the truth. And this morning, we're going to look into the Old Testament in the book of Hosea. If you want to open with me, it's Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and there it is, Hosea. As we open God's Word, we should always pause for a moment and ask help to profit from the Bible. Father, we gather together eager to be strengthened in the truth that you have brought to us. And we would ask a blessing on our time together this morning as we look to learn more of your promises of a Messiah to come and the fruit of that promise. So we thank you for this time as we've come to you in our precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at the book of Hosea and chapter 11 specifically. And our verse this morning is Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Which reads, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. To start, we may ask, how does Hosea fit into the Old Testament and this whole story of the children of Israel? To start, as a basis for our conversation, we should say, well, Hosea, what's the root of that name? And its root is found in Hebrew, and it has the same meaning as the name Joshua. And the root of that word is salvation. A fitting name for a prophet of the Lord, you would say, salvation. But that's Hosea's root meaning for his name. He appeared on the scene around the time that the kingdom of Israel had split. The northern kingdom was currently led by the King Jeroboam II. He is the offspring of the original Jeroboam, who led the northern tribes out of the union of Israel, set up the northern kingdom separate from Judah. And you can recall that Jeroboam almost immediately created a new religion for the people of the northern tribes. First Kings gives us that conversation if you want to look into it later, but it reads this: therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." Well, we know that's false. And from that point on, it was downhill for the northern kingdom, for they worshipped false gods. You know, this was in spite of God mercifully sending prophets such as Hosea to warn about the coming destruction. He preached warnings after warnings, which went unheeded. For a time, the northern kingdom under Jeroboam prospered, so they had no need of a messenger from God. They were just doing too well. They pushed God aside. That's the truth. The result was spiritual rotting from within of these northern tribes. That's why the image of Israel was painted as a harlot, a prostitute in God's word, one who sold herself to the world, chasing after one god after another. Over and over again, Hosea describes Israel as a people who prostituted themselves with pagan deities, to the climax where Hosea laments in his word, where he has these words: who loved the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. Pretty strong language for these rebellious people. And to reinforce his message, God gave Hosea a special task, a strange task, if you think about it. He was to be a physical model of the message he was bringing to the northern tribes. In that regard, back in the very first chapter of Hosea, in verse 2, we have these words. Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry from the land committed, for the land committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived from harlotry and bore him a son, the first offspring of many. And the picture of the nation is presented before the people as Hosea proclaims his message, both the message and the actual presentation of his life God has brought to the people, one to reinforce the other. We must note that this is not some poor decision a man made. For back in the start in chapter 1, verse 2, we have these significant words. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea. Here's someone who was directed by God and given a message to speak by God. Here was a true prophet of God. It's an interesting revelation here regarding prophets that I find back in Deuteronomy in chapter 18, where God is instructing Moses before the children come into the promised land. And verse 19 reads, back in Deuteronomy, the Lord said to me, speaking of Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet. Of course, the reference here is of the Messiah. But when he's talking about prophets, it applies to all prophets of God. Listen to this. It shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, speaking of a real prophet, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? In other words, who is a real prophet? Well, God gives us the answer. He continues, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. And conversely, I may add, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has given them to speak. You shall fear him. That is, respect what he says. So there you have a clear instruction about prophets and prophecy from Almighty God's own mouth, which we today can apply as we study, coincidentally, messianic prophecy. So we would like to know that we're on the right track. And we just have to go back to Deuteronomy and refresh our memory of what a prophet is. So if we go back to Hosea, where we read, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, we can conclude, since his prophecy of Israel was fulfilled, that this son of Beeri was indeed a prophet of God. And this is important for us, because in the middle of these 14 chapters, we have some very interesting words. In chapter 11, verse 1 that we're looking at this morning. For we have these words. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Now you may say, oh, but Hosea was just speaking about Israel. We got to remember this. Israel had turned its back on the true God to chase false gods. This was even after the deep traditions of the teachings of the revered prophet Moses, who was still a part of the northern kingdom's tradition and history. Back in Deuteronomy, Moses proclaimed a foundational warning to the children of Israel, even before they had entered the promised land. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses proclaimed these words to all of the children of Israel. He said in verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," Moses makes this proclamation, "I announce to you today, you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." Notice, only two: salvation or perishing. You notice two? "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." Isn't that a statement that we as believers could make to anyone in the world today who is in need of salvation? Choose life. Because if you don't choose life, what else is there? Perishing. But this is back in Moses' days, speaking to the children of Israel. Of course, the word of God applies in many different levels, right? So Moses continues, "that you may love the Lord your God, you may obey his voice, you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Pretty straightforward. He said, "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," those words, they were probably burned into the psyche of the children of Israel through the ages, right down to the point where the northern tribes' hearts did turn away and they did serve false gods. Then the result was Moses' proclamation to the children of Israel, "I announce to you today, you will surely perish." And behold, 722 BC, the northern tribes were conquered by the nation of Assyria, and they were dispersed away from their homeland, just like Moses proclaimed, a prophecy fulfilled. Moses, a prophet of God. Throughout their history, we read in the Old Testament that a merciful God who loves his people sent numerous prophets to warn them, to have them repent, to keep them on the path that they should go. Even up to the last great prophet we remember, John the Baptist. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. He preached the baptism of what? Repentance. Even those children of Israel, they were far from God in Jesus' day. So now we go back to Hosea in our verse, chapter 11. For context, if you look at chapter 11, the prophecy seems to be carrying forward from the last verse in chapter 10, verse 15. It reads, Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. This is Hosea prophesying to the northern tribes, a warning. At dawn, your king will be cut off. Then we have chapter 11. It appears to give a brief history background lesson about God bringing the children out of Egypt, if you read it that way. Feeding them manna, it says with the words, I stooped and fed them. You see all that flowing along. The narration continues on to the end of the book of Hosea. You know, on the surface, it seems like, he was talking about Israel. But if we look more closely, we can see that Hosea is speaking up to the end of chapter 10. And then as our brother William MacDonald enlightens us with a commentary, his point is that the Lord interjects his own voice into the prophecy in chapter 11. It's God speaking directly to us. So chapter 11, in the midst of all this prophecy to Israel, the harlot, what's being said then? Because we're going into something a little more special, aren't we? For the words of verse 1 seem to take a little deeper meaning. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. If, as we have heard, these words are fulfilled, this would be a clear prophecy of God the Father in heaven speaking of his son, if it's fulfilled. So our task is to search out the word of God to determine if this is indeed a prophecy by a prophet of God. Now, that would mean that somewhere in the accounts of the life of Jesus, the Gospels, this event would be documented, bring confirmation. So, with that in mind, we flip into the Gospels to search out the message. And I turn to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. This is the part of Matthew's account describing the early years of Jesus. Chapter 2 starts with, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. So we're dealing with the early years of Jesus coming into the world. And Matthew gives us the events surrounding the wise men coming from the east. That's where we read in verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. Remember back in Luke, Luke wrote, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I think we're all familiar with that from our Christmas gatherings. When the wise men came to Jesus, the family had moved into a house. And he was now being referred to as a child, not a babe. So time had moved on, as stated in verse 16 of Matthew's chapter 2. When Herod calls for the execution of the children in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under, and it says, according to the time which he had determined from his questioning of the wise men. So when the wise men came, they were most likely viewing a young child, Jesus. Moving on. In this chapter 2, Matthew describes this, starting in verse 13. Now when they had departed, that is the wise man, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee someplace? Flee up north, or get out in the desert, or go hide in some... No, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. In those days, you didn't get on the freeway with the fancy lights and your car and the headlights going full blast and zoom on down the road. In those days, you got out into darkness you got out onto a path, maybe covered with rocks and stones and uneven, and you went out into the night where there was probably a few fellows who were not that friendly, who wanted to take everything you owned. People didn't travel at nighttime in those days. It was treacherous. You waited till the daytime, you could hook up with a bunch of people and travel along for safety and for security. But it says right here, they got up in the middle of the night and away they went. That's fleeing. He said flee. They were fleeing. Okay, verse 15, speaking of this young family, and was there until the death of Herod. And here's the significant part. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 2. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Hosea? No. Which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. We're looking for the confirmation of this prophecy 700 years ago. And here Matthew spells it out for clearly. There's no ambiguity here. And it also says that spoken by the Lord. Now, isn't that what we read in Hosea? Yeah. So, this is the word that we just read, like I said, out of Hosea, and confirms a couple of things. First, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1 is a messianic song, is a messianic prophecy. Messianic in the sense that God's anointed one was proclaimed way back when. And now we have a confirmation in the Gospels. A story centered around, reports around our Lord Jesus Christ. And then also Matthew says, spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And like I'd mentioned, Hosea said, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea. Same thing. God is speaking. One through the prophet, another through his apostle Matthew, bringing us the word. And the words from chapter 11 of verse 1 of Hosea, Matthew repeats in describing the events surrounding the exodus of Joseph, Mary, and the child, Jesus, to Egypt, like I had mentioned. If they would flee to Egypt, then they would eventually be called out of Egypt. So we turn to verse 19 of chapter 2 of Matthew's account, with these words. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He's still there, waiting. He said that he was told to go and wait, and he's still waiting. We don't have a timeline on that. But he's still there. And then we have verse 20 of Matthew chapter 2 saying, arise, this is the angel telling Joseph, arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. An angel of the Lord, a messenger from the Father in heaven, who brings the message, go to the land of Israel. Called out of Egypt. It can't be more clear. A message from the Father concerning the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this in verse 21. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And, may I add, out of the land of Egypt. A prophecy fulfilled from a true prophet of the Lord as defined by God in Deuteronomy. A messianic prophecy because it's directly linked to Jesus the Christ. Remember in the Gospel of Luke, he wrote in chapter 2, the angel announces to the shepherds, remember that verse? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Greek for Messiah, announced by a messenger from God. This is Messiah, speaking of Jesus, born that time. And this thought was shared in Matthew's account when in chapter 1, Matthew repeats the prophecy of Isaiah with these words. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The Son, the Lord, all coming together in these early verses and chapters of Matthew. So we can see that all this commentary centers around the birth and early years of Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, with many prophecies associated with it. We've been week after week bringing prophecies of this glorious coming of the Savior, Messiah. But to focus on this prophecy, let's consider a couple of points. Starting with the verse, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. We start with the word Israel. Israel, the people, was going to be a light to the world. They had a law unique to the world. They were a unique people. Be ye holy, separate from the world. They were to be a light to the world. They failed. Jesus was sent. John says of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we can read this verse with these words, when the light of men was a child. Then it says, this special word, child, when you look in that prophecy. In the Gospels, there's a clear presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're thinking about it. In Luke would write in chapter 2, For there's born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Our Lord Jesus, a babe. And then Matthew writes in chapter 2, Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. Of course, total lie. So we have babe, we have child. Luke continues in his chapter 2, and he writes, When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary did not know it. We have babe, child, boy, all descriptions of the young Jesus. And finally, Matthew, in his chapter 2, verse 14, writes, When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I call my son. The many references of the young Jesus, but here in describing Jesus and the fleeing to Egypt, we find child, coinciding with Hosea's prophecy, when Israel was a child. Pretty specific. So back to Hosea, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Remember, this is God speaking. Matthew writes, when he had been baptized, this is in chapter 3 in verse 16 in Matthew's account, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 17 continues, he writes, Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Then verse 5, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Beloved, I loved him." That's from Hosea. Son, my beloved son. The words of the prophet Hosea appearing again as he relates to the Lord Jesus back in verse 1 of Hosea 11. Out of Egypt I called my son. There's another word significant in that prophecy, called. Think about it. If we read, sometime I accidentally moved from here to there. You say, well, that doesn't really get me too excited about being a prophetic statement. It's pretty vague. It's not going to work for me. But here in Hosea, we have exactness. We have a specific location, even though it was 700 years before Jesus walked on the earth. Matthew writes, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Egypt. I called him. Through the Lord's messenger, the angel of the Lord, Joseph and the child and Mary were called out of Egypt. Prophecy, exact and specific, centuries later. You know, and called has more significance than we might imagine. If you look up the original Hebrew word for called, it's kara. It has the meaning of to summon or announce. In that respect, it's an interesting picture that the young child Jesus is summoned by the Father to return from where the Father had placed him to protect him from the wicked Herod, who was a worldly type. And now announces him, the Messiah coming to Israel to save his people from their sins. Quite a picture to call. And why the significance of another messianic prophecy? This is God's message. This is his word, this Bible. And it can be relied on as the truth. Fulfilled prophecy is evidence the speaker has power beyond human ability. You or I can't be making statements that are going to pop up a century from now with exactness and specificity. But this word does, and it's recorded for us so that we can take these prophecies, these specific and prophecies stretched over centuries, and say, wow, this stuff is very accurate. This stuff is believable. I can rely on the words of this Bible as God's message. Out of Egypt, I called my son. We've seen the significance of these words, but there's something else to consider in this simple statement repeated by Matthew in his gospel. As Matthew begins his account of the ministry of Jesus, here in chapter 2, where Jesus is just a young child, the writer introduces a theme which will flow through his account and through all the accounts, the gospels related to our Lord Jesus. And that theme is hostility. Hostility towards Jesus. We see it here in verse 3 of chapter 2. Herod the king heard this and he was troubled. What did he hear? The wise men saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" So what was Herod's response? verse 16, he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts. From the beginning, death stalked Jesus. The sword was coming for him. Consider this. Herod sought to kill the one born king of the Jews. Herod was appointed by the Roman government to rule over the Jews. He was actually an Idumean, a descendant of Esau. This presented a picture of the age-old struggle between Esau and Jacob. But we remember Jacob was later called by God, changed his name to Israel. A struggle between the world of Esau and Israel. From their womb, the struggle, it says, started. It was a struggle between the spiritual, Jacob, and the worldly, Esau. It was a struggle between godly versus the world. It would play out in the struggle between Herod and the child, Jesus. It would play out between the worldly religious leaders of Jesus' time, the religious leaders of the Jews, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about it in the Gospels. So what can we make of this? For after the angel declares to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold," this is in Luke's account, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." You would think, well, everything's going to be rosy and sunny after this. Listen to those words. You know, as Jesus would grow into manhood, the Prince of Peace would bring sunshine and blessings to the land. No. We read about a continuous hatred and hostility toward Jesus as his life went on. John records in his gospel, after Jesus had cured the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, he records this: "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath in violation of their man-made rules." We've studied Isaiah 53 in the recent past, and the prophet Isaiah would write in this chapter in verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." A prophecy of centuries before our Lord walked on the earth. This is God who came to earth, as described by Paul in his letter to the Philippians, who wrote, "Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." It's a difficult thing to grasp. God would come to his own creation, humble himself as a man, to be mistreated so by those he created. It's hard to comprehend. But nowhere in messianic prophecies will we find the expression, "and it will be smooth sailing for the anointed one." You don't find that. John records our Lord Jesus saying this: "If the world hates you," speaking to his disciples, "the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." That's the reality. Then Jesus adds, "But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the Psalms. They hated me without a cause." Hostility. Man of sorrows from the beginning. Matthew chapter 2. So, if you take a minute and step back and bring in our total teaching from God's word, we see God's hand in motion. the shepherd dying for his sheep, making his purposes move forward, sheltering the newborn child, sending him off to Egypt so that he wouldn't be massacred by a worldly king, and then calling him out of Egypt to come and minister and bring the message of salvation to the world. He promised a Messiah. Hosea added his part to the prophecy of the coming anointed one. Matthew records the actual arrival of Messiah Jesus and links many prophecies to the events surrounding the coming of Emmanuel. We looked at a few this morning. You know, the writer to Hebrews gives us this in his chapter 2, speaking of Jesus Christ. He writes, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." In other words, to be an acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the people. And, you know, to we who cling to our Lord Jesus in faith, our brother Peter, in his letter, wrote this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All because out of Egypt I called my son." What a marvelous truth. As I say, amen to that. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, for you have given to us your picture of all your purposes. And in this wonderful time that we've been able to meditate on the time that you called your son out of Egypt to start this wonderful ministry that he has, that now we can say, "I am a special person. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family of God. I have a future and a hope, all because of the Messiah, the one who has done the good work, my Lord Jesus Christ." And I thank you and praise you for this time. In his precious name we pray. Amen.